Come on in, friends. This is a great and a grand celebration today. I see a few people invite Cheryl down. And then at the end, there's a prayer that Jesus taught us. So see if you remember the prayer and say the prayer all together when everyone says the prayer at the end of our prayer time. Okay, so Cheryl's coming down. You can head back to be with those who brought you. And see if you can be still for just a moment while we pray. And then we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. And then after that, you guys are going to be heading out shortly. Okay? So Cheryl, just quickly while our kids head back, you were married.
Yes.
In Main Street.
Yes.
Not in the Main Street, in the actual church.
Yes.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Me too.
You too, that's right. And Rosie, you and...
Stevie.
Were the last to be married in the... old building before we moved here. So if you don't know our history, you're going to catch it up today. But church life started in the Main Street, in the building in the Main Street. You got married there.
Yes.
In
76.
50 years.
Nearly.
Okay.
Nearly.
50 years, Nelly. There's a few other people who are 50 celebrating their 50th this year. Southwells, Matthews. Who else? We got
Browns.
The Browns. Okay. As well. Van Domley's as well. So good. Anyone else? 50 years of marriage, those faithful marriages. We have a lot to be thankful for. You want to lead us in prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah? We'll pray together, and kiddos, we'll be praying that prayer Jesus taught us at the end. So look out for that.
So, Father God, we just thank you for every person that's here today to help us celebrate what you've done in this place over the last 70 years. And Lord, I pray a blessing on each person and each family that's represented here. Bless them in their health, their strength, their mind and their spirit. Bless them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to move in our hearts today, to refresh us, to minister your love into our hearts, and Lord, to teach us something we can hold on to, which will strengthen us in our spirits as we face a new week. Now, sometimes I write a verse of scripture and then pray into it. And I got this one from our devotion where Moses spoke to the people and he said, "Look, God has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." And Father God, you have placed a land in front of us too, in a spiritual sense. And sometimes you send us to lands that are far away, but often you send us to the land that's right in front of us. And so we remember today the people 70 years ago who began this church to work and serve you in the land right in front of them. We remember how you laid big dreams in their hearts to build a church, start a youth group, a Sunday school, buy a manse, buy part of a farm to start Maranoa, to begin a preschool, to begin Boys and Girls Brigade. And they didn't do it because they had money. They did it even though they didn't have money. And Lord, I can just see Moses standing in front of that Red Sea with the Egyptians on his heels, everyone in a panic, and knowing he had nothing in himself to help the situation, to solve the problem. And Lord, sometimes we face things, and the people 70 years ago faced things that they didn't have anything to deal with it, anything to fix it. And so in faith, Moses raised that stick and raised his arm, and then you moved. And so it was for them, and so it was for the people here in the beginning, that in faith, they raised their stick of faith and they moved forward anyway. And Lord, we also remember Jesus when he told the paralyzed man to get up, pick up his mat and to walk. Now that seems such a simple thing, such a small thing, but he was paralyzed and he'd never done that in his whole life probably. And sometimes you ask us, Lord, to do things that we've never done in our life and we get fearful. But help us, Lord, to trust you. Just as that paralyzed man did, he had to try and do something he had never done in his life. And when he did, his healing came. And Lord, when we do, your enablement comes and helps us. And so as we remember what was done 70 years ago in this place, when they all did the little things they could do, and they trusted you for the big things they had no idea how to do, but you came and you provided in amazing ways. And they did it without the money. They didn't have money. They didn't have worldly wealth. They just did it anyway. And so we come to you, Lord Jesus, with our dreams, our step of faith. We have a land before us, a community before us, a step of obedience, maybe to do something for you that we have never done ever before. And we declare that we have the same God Moses had, telling us not to be afraid. The same God saying, don't be discouraged. The same God who has promised to provide. The same God who said he would answer when we called. The same God who promised not to leave us or forsake us. And I just can see that little boy with the loaves and the fishes. He had the equivalent of one sandwich. And maybe when he took it to Jesus, he was thinking, what is this? What use is this in the face of so many hungry people? But he took his small offering anyway. And could he ever have imagined what Jesus would do with his small offering? And so, Lord, we bring our small offerings, our time, our gifts, our dreams, our concerns for those we love, our community, and we offer ourselves to you, Jesus, to do what you tell us to do. Not because we have money on hand to do it, not because we even have the talent or ability, but because you lay dreams, you lay needs, you lay groups of people on our hearts, and you want us to go and serve and minister to them in Jesus' name and try and bring them all to know you and come into loving relationship with you. And so we thank you, Lord, for the example of faith the founding members were to us. And now let's finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, praise be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll have to turn around. Us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Excellent. Just before our kids head out, I've got to tell you a little bit of maths, as you can see there. That's for you. Yep. And there were big prayers that this church started with. It started in prayer in Daly Street. And that happened and as they met together. There was a big vision, really, as things came together about what God could possibly do. And as I look back, there's actually big risks that they took and great prayers that Cheryl has just prayed us into. But if you don't know the history, just to get you quickly to capture some of the big history, there's basically been 30 years in Main Street, nearly 40 years here, 40 years next year here, which equals 70 years combined. And to take you quickly to tell you, in Main Street when they met, they used to meet at what time? 10 o'clock, that was an all-age Sunday school. Kids, Sunday school started first. And it was an all-age Sunday school before they had the service at 11 o'clock. Now, why did they have the service at 11 o'clock? Well, maybe you can think about that and you'll find out later when we see the film and you catch that. But they had a night service which was at 7 o'clock. And so that was in Main Street in 59 when the church was actually built. But then when we moved here
That was in 87. So this is just giving you the big blocks to help you piece together today, because I've been looking at the history. For this might just be helpful for you, I hope. They started a service here. It was at 9:30 then. And then there was a night service, which was at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, depending on what time of the year it was. You know why? I found the sign this week. There's the sign. So depending if it was winter, 6 o'clock. If it was summer, it was 7 o'clock. And I only found that this week in the shed while we were doing some other things. Our kids are going to be heading out now, and our kids will be back with us later. Thank you for our Manning stepping in, for Tori. Fee's actually unwell, unfortunately, and can't be here today. But for our little people who are heading out now with Leonie, Michelle, and for Mal, thank you so much for looking after our little people. Little people, we'll see you later, and you'll be checking back in with us in time for cake and for a little bit of a historical PowerPoint as well. And hopefully they'll get to see some of their faces in that. Rightio, as our kids head out, hopefully you're kind of piecing together and putting together where things fit. But let me give you another little bit more of where things are. This used to be called Austinville Baptist Fellowship, if you didn't know, ABF, and we're now ABCH, Austinville Baptist Church. We started with Reverend T, that was Trevor, and he was the first reverend here. Now you're stuck with me, Rev T as well. And I thought it was interesting linking some of these things as I looked back in the past as well. But again, big picture, big blocks of things that happen. In 56, there was a prayer meeting that started. And it started in the Cooper's Cottage, and that is in Daly Street. That's it, just out there, not far away. People praying around, coming together, what God might do, and wanting to be a witness, a Baptist witness in this place. There's a building finished in 59, so you've got to do a few things to get that building built. It was a significant building in the main street, and it's still there today, except it's a gym. It's powering along today. And you can go there if you want some other time and get your exercise gear on, and you can go visit. But guess what? Back in the day when they dedicated that, I just noticed something too. Skin fades were around in 59. That's a skin fade. Look at it. Okay? Young people, you think skin fades are new? No, all things in fashion go round. Skin fades were trendy. Anyway, they had a big vision, and things were happening in church life there. In 72, a preschool started. A preschool started there. And then things were moving on really quickly. In 84, an aged care facility started. So things were bumping along. They didn't actually, that didn't just pop into existence. For 3 years, they badgered the Catholic farmer to sell it to a Baptist. And eventually, they acquired that property in God's timing, and an aged care facility started. After our time and the boom and the growth that happened in Main Street, and there was a time to move to here. And when they moved here, that's in 87, there was a great time of building, really. As you can see, this building didn't just pop into existence either. And there was great effort and energy that went into that. I don't know who anyone here at the first service. Put up your hand if you're here at the first service. Okay, there was people who were here at the first service. Ex-life. The Manic Mintons. No, one of them is anyway. There's a photo of the first time. But we're going to meet someone and see who fits into the story. So I'm going to invite John Ford. And John Wilson fits into those decades in that story in Ange. And John, just a few couple of questions as we think about your time here.
Some may know Don Kemsley, who was pastoring in Baptist churches for over 50 years, most recently Coffs Harbour and then Ocean Shores, but he passed away a week or so ago, and we had our celebration service for Don yesterday at Lismore Baptist Church.
Yes, so big weekend for you, big weekend for everyone really. And today you're here, we celebrate 70, but we want to just see, where do you fit into that timeline, the decades, and where you joined here? And what was your connection and how did you get connected?
First of all, I want to know, did I really look like that?
Yeah.
Did I really? I know Angie hasn't changed, but so our very first connection, we got invited. We were part of a music group called Corazon. And
where's the Corazon groupies?
Oh, the groupies are still there. They just got grey hair now. So we were invited by Campaigners for Christ with Gavin Williams and Mike Frost, who part of Morling College. We came up and did a 10-year campaign up here. We were invited to do the music. This was in late 1992, and this was our first experience where there was some great stuff happening here, not just in Alstonville Baptist Church, but around the whole community. So it was a real blessing to be immersed in ministry here from a very early time.
Sure, and as you started with band life, this place became a bit of a spiritual home for you?
Yeah, well, then in 1995, we had the opportunity to come and be involved in a church plant with the Churches of Christ in Suffolk Park. And so involved in church planting there, but so this became our evening. We'd come over here in the Sunday evenings to sort of immerse and get involved and get some encouragement during that time. Soon after that then, once we'd handed over that church plant, this became our church home about 1997, 98, whilst we were still doing the Corazon ministries as well. So it kind of became a bit of a base for Corazon, yeah.
Excellent. So the 90s are pretty much boom time here.
It certainly seemed to be at that time, didn't it? Yeah.
400 plus people, but also challenges as well.
Oh, yes. Look, with any church, whenever there's, you know, significant ministry, there is one who doesn't want significant ministry. And so there's always going to be an upheaval. There's always going to be the challenges. And I think that's part of ministry, isn't it? That it's not always going to be the good stuff. There's always going to be the challenges along the way.
Yes, yes. Yeah. There were along the way, but now where you are up to now and currently where you're up to. So we're skipping forward now. 15 years you've been at Lismore Baptist Church.
It's actually a little bit more than that.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. We'll stay with 15. Yeah, okay,
we'll go 15.
So 15 years at Lismore.
And Lismore Baptist Church is 113 years old, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
113, that's right. If I get my history right. And you in that time have become grandparents as well. And recent grandparents again, yeah.
Angie will have all those details for you. She's got 1,000 photos on her phone that she can show you afterwards if you like.
Recent grandparent details?
Okay, recent one is Little John, named after this John.
Big John.
Although I do have a complaint on that because I'm the mum and I do all the helping, but John.
Yeah, but you
gets
can't
renamed.
Call the boy Angie though. No,
you can call him Angelo. So born to Cassie and Sam on the 21st of April, and they live Ballina, and then Amy and Luke live in Canberra, and they've got a 21-month-year-old little boy. His name is Lincoln, and he runs around wild just like Luke, those of you who remember Luke. Yeah, but it's just been great to have them.
Yeah. A great blessing to be grandparents. I look forward to it too. No pressure, kids. Then, so we fast forward, you getting to Lismore, 15 plus a little bit more years. I know Lismore building is 60 years plus.
This year is 60 years
60
in
years
existence.
Of That's that right. building in Lismore. And there's some significant things happening or things that you guys have to make and step forwards you have to make. Where's Lismore up to?
We're looking at the moment as to whether we have had an offer on our building, and we're just negotiating at the moment as to whether God has us to continue to stay where we are or whether he's pointing us in a new direction. So that's kind of the fascinating space that we are in at the moment.
Yes, it is fascinating, isn't it, to think about what you might step into or what God might be calling us all into as we're part of the Northern Rivers Baptist Network here. Thank you very much, Wilsons. John's going to be sharing with us in a little moment. What are we doing next? We're going to... This is a photo I wanted to quickly show you. When we got here, I don't know if Manning was too sure about coming here, if you see that photo. We weren't too sure either when God was calling us here, and it seems, John, that... the Baptist churches get their ministers from all over the place, don't they? Because I have history in other churches as well. It was a really blessed time as I think about and reflect my time here. My kids actually have committed their life to the Lord through that period and time being here, which is significant to me. We started out in a little family like this, but they're a little bit bigger these days. And it's we celebrate Manning's 19th birthday this week. But I'm thankful to God in many ways. Hey, I want to quickly tell you about a little bit of family news before we actually get into God's Word and John shares with us a little bit from that. The first thing is this. Happy birthday. There's a few people's birthday and there's a couple of people's birthday today. Is Jim Patch here? Just looking for him? No, he's off celebrating with his family. And also Wayne is his birthday today as well. But it's our birthday today as well. We'll stay around. We've got cake. We've got other things. We've got lots happening today. It'll be fun. Happy birthday all. We've got a Discover course too that we're just kind of waiting to launch when we get the right people. As you can see there, we were planning to start, but we've just held off for a little bit. It's a great opportunity for people to get connected to God, discover who God is, discover hope, discover truth, discover life in Jesus as they look through the book of Luke. So we're hoping to coordinate that. A few people have got interest in that. Let me know if you're interested. I want to encourage you to be part of church history. Come along to our retreat, which is happening. We're doing that in September. We want you to get signed up over the end by the end of the financial year. So make sure you grab a brochure if you haven't got one already. Get locked in and see who are the first. I didn't check this week, but I know there's people who have already paid and stepped into that and who are committed to coming to that, but getting your rego form for that before the end of the financial year. That's family news. You caught up? Okay, we're ready to get into God's Word. Warren's going to share with us from Matthew. This is a series we've been doing. The Coxes arrived here in 84, is that right? 84, yeah. And now we turn to focus our thoughts on God and what He has to say to us. So if you've got a Bible, turn to that. Otherwise, Warren will read that for you.
Yeah, Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side. While He dismissed the crowd, after He had dismissed the crowd, He then went up on the mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were with him in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together today. We can worship, celebrate, pray, read your word. And we pray today that these words won't just be words on a page, but by your Spirit, you will speak to our hearts. You'll speak to our minds, that we just won't be intellectually informed, but we will be transformed by your Spirit. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I say what a privilege it is to be asked to speak today at a really significant moment in the life of a church, 70 years. And so I am incredibly thankful and privileged to be doing that. It brings back a lot of memories, particularly when you come into the building here, stand up here, you see a lot of familiar faces, and there's a lot of memories are flooding back. But it's a great opportunity to look back. And we look back with gratitude as to what God has done. But we don't just look back, we also look around. We look around. Here we are today with appreciation of where God has placed us now. But also, an opportunity like this is to look ahead with anticipation. And it's a remarkable milestone, 70 years. What do you preach at a 70th church anniversary? Well, as Trent said, you guys are working through the book of Matthew, and you got up to Matthew 14, and Trent said, well, preach whatever you want to preach out of Matthew 14. If you've got your Bibles there, the first part of that passage is John the Baptist gets beheaded. And I thought, John this Baptist is not going to... No, I thought, I won't go there. The next part of Matthew 14, if you see, it's a feeding of the 5,000. That's not bad. But I thought, well, we're already going to get that sorted out later on after the service. There's a few loaves and a few fishes out there, and it's all going to be sorted out for you people, okay? So we went with Jesus walking on the water. I hope you're okay with that. And in many respects, it is fitting, and it reminds us that a church like this, it's just like here we are, some people in a boat journeying together. In the middle of changing circumstances, learning that Jesus is faithful. And I think what the disciples learnt that night in the boat is also helpful for us as we consider where we are today as a church 70 years old. And I could sum it up by basically saying this. Now, thank you, Robbie, for being on media. If you look up, I don't have a clicker, so you're just going to work with me, aren't you? Okay. The future is not secured by calm seas, but by the presence of Christ. Yes? The future is not secured by calm seas. And we've already heard that there's many times in life where there's not calm. We look forward to the calm seas, but it's not always going to be like that. But it's by the presence of Christ that secures our future. And I've got three thoughts about this passage that may help us today in this significant milestone. And the first one is this. Remember the faithfulness of Jesus in every storm. We can think about all of the good days, the calm seas, those pleasant moments. But whether it's for us as individuals or for us as we journeyed as a church, we need to also remember the faithfulness of Jesus in the storms. And we pick this up in verse 24, where we read, the boat was already a considerable distance from land and it was buffeted by the waves. Now, if you've got your Bibles there and you're reading that, you can see that this is not an accident or an inconvenience that the disciples end up in a boat that is being buffeted by the wind and the waves. Jesus actually told them to go into the boat. So therefore, they were exactly where Jesus wanted them to be. Now that, I don't know whether that messes with you to think that Jesus would actually send them to a place where there would be inconvenience and concern. They were buffeted by the wind and the waves. I think it's important as we consider that is that obedience doesn't exempt us from storms. It doesn't happen here in church. It didn't happen for the people we read about in the Bible. And over 70 years, there would have been plenty of storms and unsettledness and uncertainty through the life of this church. Through leadership transitions and uncertainty. Financial challenges we've already heard about. Two building programs. They just don't pop up, do they? There's certainly storms involved in all of that. Changing community, cultural shifts, all creates uncertainty. And yet here we are, 70 years later on. We're still standing. It reminds me a little bit, I think one of the most significant things that we've got here in the Northern Rivers is the Byron Bay Lighthouse. I love the Byron Bay Lighthouse. For those of you who don't want to know, we still live in the same house. Angie and I still live in the same house out of Tuckenville, just on the edge of town here. And if you stand out in our front driveway of a clear night, you can actually see the glow of the Byron Lighthouse. And I can tell you exactly the timing and as it skips around, dozens of kilometres away from where the light stands. Now, it's interesting, the purpose of the Byron Lighthouse is not to calm the seas. By placing a lighthouse, you suddenly don't make the sea calm, do you? The purpose of the Byron Lighthouse is to guide ships home. And we all need something that's unmovable in our lives, something foundational that is going to guide us home, and that has been the presence of Jesus Christ in our own personal lives. And as the cornerstone and the foundation of Alstonville Baptist Church to guide us home. Christ is the lighthouse of Alstonville Baptist Church. Christ is the lighthouse of our lives. Now we've already, and I'm fascinated as we did a little bit of that question about where everybody is, where they've come from and whatever. Most of the people, can I say, and I appreciate the fact that there are some folk here who were present at the very start of Alstonville Baptist Church 70 years ago, and it's an incredible achievement. But for most who laid the foundation of this church, they're no longer with us. But it's the same light of Christ that has guided every generation since. And I find it continually remarkable that somehow God continues to raise up at the right time, in the right means, the next generation. So look back. We need to look back and recognize God's faithfulness. So remember the faithfulness of Jesus in every storm. The second thought I've got in all of this, thank you, Robbie. Good on you. Second one, keep your eyes on Jesus as you step into the future. So important. And we see in this passage, Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. That is just an amazing scenario, is it not? Now, we often read this passage and the most memorable part about it is we remember that Peter sunk. We remember that. We remember his failings. But remember there for a moment. For a moment, Peter walked on the water. I can imagine years later or whatever, the disciples would have a bit of time together and they'd make a bit of fun. And they'd probably make fun of Peter and go, I remember that time when you got out of the boat. And remember you sunk? I can remember Peter turning around and going, well, where were you? Where were you? Now, before he sunk, he walked on the water, willing to step into the unfamiliar. Why? Check the passage. It's because Jesus called him. He said, come, come, come out to me. Now, the temptations at events like this, at church anniversaries, I'll also just let you know that just late last year, as I was invited to my home church back down in Ballarat, Victoria, Brown Hill Uniting Church, 170 years I spoke at that, and I have been invited to speak at the Grafton's 150. I'm like the old anniversary specialist. I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not, but anyway. The temptation is that we can be grateful for the past, but we can be somewhat, oh, here we go, my lovely wife. I didn't have a voice only a week ago, so I'm still coming back from it. Ah, that's great, thank you. We can be reluctant about the future. We love to look back and go, how wonderful was those days, and stick with what we know. And yet Jesus is continuing to call us into that unknown. I mean, as far as I am aware, Peter had not walked on water before that event. I'm assuming that is correct, okay? And for all of us, there are times when Jesus calls us into the unknown. And I can imagine that from today onwards, as we start to, 70, 71, 72, 73 and onwards, there's going to be the challenge where Jesus is going to call Alstonville Baptist Church into places and into ministries and into endeavours that has never been done before. Even though the mission hasn't changed, even though people still need hope, people still need forgiveness, families still need Christ, but let's face it, the 2030s are going to be very, very different to the 1950s, as they already are right now, are they not? But the gospel hasn't changed, the needs haven't changed. I think what helps me when I think about this is the importance of a rear-view mirror. Thank you, Robbie. Look, there it is. A rear-view mirror is really, really important, isn't it? As you're driving, you need to glance up at the rear-view mirror, find out where you've been, what's going on around you. Have you ever tried driving without a rear-view mirror? I have a few times when I had a big teenage son who used to sit in the middle seat at the back, and his big head, that's all you'd see when you look through the rear-vision mirror. But rear-view mirrors are really, really important. But you cannot drive forward by looking into the rear-view mirror, can you? As we look back, we rejoice. And today, we're doing a bit of glancing into the rear-view mirror, are we not? And we're looking at where we've been. We're appreciating that. And we're thanking God for his faithfulness in that. The windscreen is much larger than the rearview mirror. And there's times when we need to look through the windscreen and consider where God is taking us. Just as Peter stepped out of that boat with his eyes fixed on Jesus. Whilst his eyes were fixed on Jesus and not the waves, we saw some incredible things took place. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus as we step into the future. And my third point, trust the presence of Jesus more than the size of the waves. So understandably, and let's not hang it on Peter, we all get like that. We get the moment where we look around and we see problems instead of Jesus. And we all start sinking, don't we? We all get overwhelmed. We all get troubled. The good news that we read in this passage is immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I think it's one of the most striking words in this passage. Jesus just doesn't stand back and go, well, what did you do there? Straight away he's in grabbing the hand of Peter and together they go into the boat. Jesus doesn't hesitate, reaches out, catches him, saves him, and we read that the wind died down. It's just a powerful moment. As we consider this passage and what it means for us here, whether we are a regular member here at Alstonville Baptist Church, whether you're a visitor, you've come from other churches, whether you've drifted away and you just sort of come back and you're wondering, yeah, I remember those days where we gathered together and we did stuff together and we heard about Jesus and we heard these good stories. What do you think God is saying to you today? And as we consider Alstonville Baptist as a body of Christ and for us as individuals, this passage also reminds me of the story Footprints in the Sand. You know that poem, don't you? It's a really powerful little passage. As a man looks back over his life and reflects a bit like what we're doing today, reflects on everything that has happened in his life. And he sees two sets of footprints. It's pretty obvious. One set is him and the other set is the Lord. Yet he could see that there were times, particularly during the hardest times of his life, that there was only one set of footprints. And the most obvious thing comes to mind, because he remembers those moments, and those moments seem so difficult and so alone. And he would ask that question and say, why are there only one set of footprints? Did I walk that journey alone at that time? But look, we know this story, don't we? The Lord says to him, no, those footprints are mine. And during those difficult times, I carried you. So what would the footprints look like for Alstonville Baptist Church over the last 70 years? I think there would be numerous times through those last 70 years where there would have been just one set of footprints. Times when we were uncertain, times in the storm, times when leaders were lost, attendance may have declined for a period of time. There were difficult decisions that needed to be made. Jesus carried us. He carried us in the past. He is carrying us today. Will we allow him to carry us into the future? Because ultimately the future doesn't depend on our resources, as good as resources are. The future doesn't depend on this building, as good as this building is. It doesn't depend on that. It doesn't depend on programs, as good as programs are. It doesn't depend on demographics. But like the disciples in the boat on that day, the thing that depended most was the presence of Christ in the boat with them. So today, Jesus here is in the boat. What do we see happen in this passage? Once Peter and Jesus got into the boat, there was a moment. There was a moment when they realized what was going on and they worshipped him. And they made this statement. Thank you, Robbie. Truly, you are the Son of God. Truly. It's an act of worship, isn't it? Truly, you are the Son of God. You are the one who is here today. You are the one who has carried us. You are the one who has enabled us to walk on the water and do things that we could have never done in our own strength. It was you, your presence, your leadership, you carrying us. And we say this today, truly, you are the Son of God. The real purpose of an anniversary, a day like today, is not so much to honour memories, as much memories are really important, but to celebrate him. Can we say that what we're doing today is we're recognising and celebrating God's faithfulness in the past, we've talked about that, God's presence right now in the present, but also as we consider God's promises for the future, as we consider what we can hand over to the next generation, Jesus in the boat with us. He is the one who will lead you into the future. Can I pray with you today? We thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. We thank you that you have been with us, carried us, strengthened us, enabled us to do things that we would never be able to do in our own strength. And yet in the midst of storms and uncertainty, you have remained faithful. You have never left us, and you are ready to take our hand in whatever circumstances we are in. So we thank you as we look back and see how faithful you have been to do that, and that you are still with us today. And we ask now that as we fix our eyes forward in step with you, that you would carry us into the future with you in the boat, leading us to a glorious future, worshipping, celebrating, and honour you. For truly you are the Son of God. Amen.